Thank you, Uncle Alvin. Good evening. I thank all of you for coming out this evening, and I welcome you here in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My talk, my speech, my sermon, whatever you want to call it, that I'm going to give tonight, I've titled it, If Then. If Then. Okay? So if, dot, 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 then. If you would open your Bible to Genesis, the 17th chapter, we will get started. It says in the first verse of chapter 17 of Genesis, "And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect." That's a statement from God, a commandment. He's telling Abram, walk before me and be thou perfect. And he's not just telling Abram, he's telling all of us to walk before him and be perfect. Not just down the aisle of the church and out the door, but all the time, every day. Walk before God and be perfect. And he says, if you will do that, I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. How many of us would like to have God make a covenant with us? How many of us would like to hear God say, hey, Pat, I would like to make a covenant with you? I mean, I would love to hear God say that to Pat. I'd love to hear God say that to me. Okay, but he's telling this to Abraham, and he's also telling it to us through the story. He says, I will make a covenant, my covenant between me and thee. And thou shalt be a father of many nations. Not that Pat nor I want to have that many kids and grandkids, but we would, you know, a covenant to have God come up to you one day and just say, hey, I want to make a covenant with you. That would be so cool. But then we'd have to be perfect, wouldn't we? So how do we do that? How do we be perfect day after day after day? We talked a little bit about it at the rally, this perfection, this desire to have the love of God in us always, at all times. How do we do that? What are some of the things that we do that causes us not to do that? Turn to the second book of Nephi, chapter 6. It's on page 108. It says in verse 44, oh, how great the holiness of our God, for he knoweth all things, and there is not anything save he knows it. And he cometh into the world that he may save all men, if they will hearken unto his voice. So there's an if-then statement. It's a conditional statement. I don't know if any of you remember your math class at all back in high school, or if any of you are still having math classes in high school, but it's a conditional statement. There's a hypothesis and all of that stuff in the statement, and it's a if this, then that. So that's what we're dealing with. He says, he cometh into the world that they may save all men if they will hearken unto his voice, then they'll be saved. So it's if and then. For behold, he suffereth the pains of all men, yea, the pains of every living creature, both men, women, and children, which belong to the family of Adam. And when it says pains, it means all the tribulations and toils and turmoil that life has to offer. We don't live in paradise, we live on planet Earth. And there's turmoil, there's problems, there's strife. It's not the Garden of Eden anymore, it's Earth. We are here. And he came here so that he would be able to experience everything that we go through and show us that he withstood it all. And he suffereth this, that the resurrection might pass upon all men, that all might stand before him at the great and judgment day. So everybody is going to stand before God on judgment day. No matter who you are, no matter what you did, no matter what kind of person you were, whether you were good and perfect and righteous and walked before God perfectly every day, like Abram, or if you were a sinner all your life. No matter what, all of us are going to stand in front of God and be judged. And he commanded all men that they must repent and be baptized in his name, having perfect faith in the Holy One of Israel, or they cannot be saved in the kingdom of God. And if they will not repent and believe in his name and be baptized in his name and endure to the end, then they must be damned. There's no way around it. If you don't do this, then this is what's going to happen to you. You'll be damned. I don't want that to happen to me. I don't want that to happen to any one of you. And I don't want that to happen to anyone outside the doors of this building. I don't want anyone to be damned. I want them to be with God for eternity. I don't want them to suffer. Believe it or not, I look at them as if they are my family. And I want them to know what I know. And I want them to understand what I understand as what the scriptures say. And I want them to understand that the lies that Satan is telling the world is going to cause their eternal damnation if they die in believing those lies. So how do I get them out of it? Oh, and I'm going to read verse 50. You know, and in verse 49 it says, and if they will not repent and believe in his name and be baptized in his name and endure to the end, they must be damned. And in 50 it says, for the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, hath spoken it. Not me, not Alvin Harris, not Dan Lawrence or Leslie Case, not your Sunday school teacher, not anyone else, but the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, hath spoken it. Let's go to the book of Jacob. Speaking about the Lord God of Israel, saying this is the way it is. Book of Jacob, the third chapter, starting in verse 5, page 175 in the Book of Mormon, it says, "Behold, they," speaking of their forefathers, "believed in Christ and worshiped the Father in his name, and also we worship the Father in his name. And for this intent, we keep the law of Moses, it pointing our souls to him, and for this cause, it is sanctified unto us for righteousness, even as it was accounted unto Abraham in the wilderness, to be obedient unto the commandments of God in offering up his son Isaac, which is a similitude of God and his only begotten son. Wherefore we search the prophets, and we have many revelations and the spirit of prophecy, and having all these witnesses, we obtain a hope. And our faith becometh unshaken, insomuch that we truly can command in the name of Jesus, and the very trees obey us, or the mountains, or the waves of the sea." To me, that sounds like us. When we ask God for something in faith, and we ask for something that's right, and we ask for it in the name of Jesus Christ, he does it for us. And he does. I've seen it happen many, many times. You've seen it happen many, many times. I've experienced it as a little child, watching the adults and things. I experienced it as a teenager. I experienced it as a young man, and I've experienced it as an old man. Well, not as old as some, but my kids say I'm old now. "Nevertheless, the Lord God sheweth us our weakness, that we may know that it is by his grace and his great condescensions unto the children of men that we have power to do these things." And he does. He shows us our weaknesses. And he lets us know it's not us. It is him that does all of these things, all of these miracles that we witness for us. "Behold, great and marvelous are the works of the Lord. How unsearchable are the depths of the mysteries of him. And it is impossible that man should find out all his ways. And no man knoweth of his ways. Save it be revealed unto him." You know, that's the second time tonight that I have said that word wrong. Waves instead of ways. Sorry, it just kind of hit me right there. I've done that twice now. "Wherefore, brethren, despise not the revelations of God. For behold, by the power of his word, man came upon the face of the earth, which earth was created by the power of his word. Wherefore, if God, being able to speak, and the world was, and to speak, and man was created," so if God, by the power of his word, made all of this stuff, and made you and me and everything on this planet, and all the stars and planets and stuff in the world, in the universe, and all of these things, if God made all of this stuff by his word, "Oh, then why not be able to command the earth or the workmanship of his hands upon the face of it according to his will and pleasure?" In other words, if God did all this stuff, why can't he tell us what to do? And why can't he tell the trees and the oceans and the mountains and stuff what to do? If he's the one that made all of this, then why can't he? Who are we to say that he can't? Who are we to put limits on him and tell him, you can't do that because we don't want you to? You can't do that because that's not what we want. You can't do that because we don't think that's right anymore. Who are we to tell him what he can and can't do? But when you look outside the doors of this building and you see the people out there and you listen to what they say and you look at what they do and you look at what's printed in the newspapers and on the news, you see that outside the doors of this building and like places throughout the world, there's a lot of people out there trying to tell him what he can and can't do, and what he can and can't tell us to do. Well, then why not able to command the earth or the workmanship of his hands upon the face of it according to his will and pleasure? Wherefore, brethren, seek not to counsel the Lord, but to take counsel from his hand. So when he tells you to walk perfectly in front of him in righteousness, in keeping his commandments, and that if you don't, you will be punished for eternity, you better do it. Wherefore, brethren, seek not to counsel the Lord, but to take counsel from his hand. For behold, ye yourselves know that he counseleth in wisdom and in justice and in great mercy over all his works. Wherefore, beloved brethren, be reconciled unto him through the atonement of Christ, his only begotten Son, that ye may obtain a resurrection according to the power of the resurrection which is in Christ, and be presented as the first fruits of Christ unto God, having faith and obtained a good hope of glory in him before he manifesteth himself in the flesh. The first fruits. Remember the story of Cain and Abel? When they offered their offering to God, and God accepted Abel's, but he didn't accept Cain's. Do you remember why he accepted Abel's and not Cain's? Because Abel offered him the first fruits of his harvest, and Cain gave him the last part. He wants us to be the first fruits. He wants us to be right there in front going, yes, not, I'm going to wait. I'm going to live my life the way I want to until the very last moment, and then I'll give you what you want. No, he wants us now. Do it now. Don't think you're going to just do whatever you want and put it off till the last day and then offer it up to him and he's going to go, oh, okay, yeah. I didn't like it when Cain did it, but it's okay because it's you. That's not going to work. It's not going to fly. Why? Because he said so. And now, beloved, marvel not that I tell you these things. For why not speak of the atonement of Christ and attain to a perfect knowledge of him, as to attain to the knowledge of a resurrection in the world to come? But behold, my brethren, he that prophesieth, let him prophesy to the understanding of men, for the Spirit speaketh the truth and lieth not. Wherefore, it speaketh of things as they really are, and of things as they really will be. Wherefore, these things are manifested unto us plainly for the salvation of our souls. This is the way it really is. No matter what some scientists or far right, far left person out there in the world tells you is okay, if it goes against what God said, it's not going to be okay. This is the way it is. No matter what they tell you, it isn't going to be okay if you don't do it the way God said. Wherefore, these things are manifested unto us plainly for the salvation of our souls. Behold, we are not witnesses alone in these things, for God also spake them unto prophets of old. But behold, the Jews were a stiff-necked people, and they despised the words of plainness and killed the prophets and sought for things that they could not understand. Wherefore, because of their blindness, which blindness came by looking beyond the mark, they must needs fall. For God hath taken away his plainness from them and delivered unto them many things which they cannot understand because they desired it. It's what they wanted. And because they desired it, God hath done it, that they may stumble. And I don't want you to stumble. I don't want them to stumble. If you would turn to the book of Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, we're going to read some of the stuff that he told them don't do. And this is the book of Deuteronomy. And Angelita said today, it should be the book of Deuteronomy because it's not what to do. I don't know. Sounds okay. Okay. 18th chapter of Deuteronomy, the 9th verse says, boy, I almost started in the wrong book. Ninth verse says, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, when you get to the promised land, thou shalt not, and these are the nots, don't do these things. Thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. Those guys that were there before you, don't do what they did. And he tells them, there shall not be found among you anyone, nobody among all you people are going to do this. Not one of you will do this. Do you understand me? This is what he's telling them. You will not do these things. You will not make your son or daughter to pass through the fire as a sacrifice to the god Baal. You're not going to kill your babies as a sacrifice to Baal because you wanted to do what he said instead of what God said, which was live any kind of lifestyle you wanted. You're not going to use divination. You're not going to be an observer of times or an enchanter or a witch or a charmer or a consulter with familiar spirits or a wizard or a necromancer. You're not going to do any of those things. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the things that the nations did before you, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God, just like Abraham. You're going to be perfect. That's what he told them. You're not going to do any of these abominations. Do you understand me? I will not allow it. For these nations which thou shalt possess, hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners, but as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. Turn to the book of Titus, chapter 2. And I'm going to do a lot of reading here. I'm going to read all of chapter 2 and the first 7 verses of chapter 3. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober. Okay, these are the do's. This is what he wants us to do. We've been through the don'ts, the do nots. or Deuteronomy. Now we're into the do's. The aged man be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to too much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Excuse me. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. All men know this. That's what it says. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, and let no man despise thee. Teach everybody this, in other words. Live and walk a righteous, perfect life in front of God at all times and in all things. And deny yourself of all the ungodly lusts and desires of the world. Verse 1 of chapter 3, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. We all were sinners at one point in time. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And so, yes, we have all been sinners at one point or another in our life. We all sin. But most of us here in this room have been brought to a knowledge of the truth, and we understand what it is and what we were supposed to do, and almost everyone here in this room has done that. We've repented of our sins. We did what he asked us to do. We were baptized with water, fire, and the Holy Ghost, and we became his children, his people. And he's telling us to set a good example for everyone else, the rest of the family. And let them understand that it is through his sacrifice that we have received our salvation. Turn to the book of Enos, page 194 in the Book of Mormon. Book of Enos, verse 1. Behold, it came to pass that I, Enos, knowing my father, that he was a just man, for he taught me in his language and also in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And blessed be the name of my God for it. He's telling God, thank you for everything his dad ever taught him. And I will tell you of the wrestle which I had before God, before that I received a remission of my sins. Was Enos a sinner? Michelle, was Enos a sinner? Yeah. Yeah, he's telling us right here. I was a sinner. I had to work hard to get a remission of my sins. Behold, I went to hunt beasts in the forest, and the words which I had often heard my father speak concerning eternal life and the joy of the saints, and the words of my father sunk deep into my heart. I don't know his dad's name, and I don't know everything he told him, but I know that he told him the same thing that Leslie Case has told me all my life. Because I've known Leslie since I was a little bitty kid. And Leslie's been telling me the same thing continuously. Sometimes when he's standing up here, sometimes when he's sitting there and bearing his testimony, and sometimes when he's in the kitchen helping and cleaning. And I remember. It's the same thing that Dan Lawrence does. It's the same thing that you all do. The same stuff is being told over and over again. And because we do that, these people who are sinners like Enos, like me, can be brought to God and receive a remission of our sins. And my soul hungered, and I kneeled down before my Maker, and I cried unto him in mighty prayer and supplication for mine own soul. And all the day long did I cry unto him. Yea, and when the night came, I did still raise my voice high, that it reached the heavens. And there came a voice unto me, saying, Enos, thy sins are forgiven thee, and thou shalt be blessed. And I, Enos, knew that God could not lie. Wherefore my guilt was swept away. And I saith, Lord, how is it done? And he saith unto me, because of thy faith in Christ, whom thou hast not heard nor seen. Anyone out here ever see Jesus Christ? You can raise your hand. Okay, they don't want to raise their hand. Some people have seen him. I've heard him speak to me a couple of times. I know people who have heard him speak to them. And I know people that have seen angels. And every time it was to encourage us to do right, and to encourage us to stop doing wrong. And he saith unto me, because of thy faith in Christ, whom thou hast not heard nor seen, and many years pass away before he shall manifest himself in the flesh. Wherefore, go to it. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Now it came to pass that when I had heard these words, and this is Enos, after he'd received a remission of his sins, and God told him how it was done, he says, when I had heard these words, I began to feel a desire for the welfare of my brethren, the Nephites. Wherefore I did pour out my whole soul unto God for them. And while I was thus struggling in the spirit, behold, the voice of the Lord came into my mind again, saying, I will visit thy brethren according to their diligence in keeping my commandments. I have given unto them this land, and it is a holy land, and I curse it not. Save it be for the cause of iniquity. Wherefore I will visit thy brethren according as I have said, and their transgressions will I bring down with sorrow upon their own heads. This is a promised land that we live in. And all those people outside the door are our brethren, the Nephites and the Lamanites, if you want to look at it that way. And we need to be praying for them, that God will bring them to an understanding that they may receive a remission of their sins. Unless you want this whole country that we live in to be swept away in iniquity. And if you don't think we're getting close to that point, you need to take a look at the news and see what's going on. Okay? In this country, we have two political parties that are basically the ones that are in control of our country, the Republicans and the Democrats. The leader of the Republican Party says he's a Christian. I'll let it go at that. I don't know him very well. I know what he used to do, and I know what he's been doing. He doesn't seem to be the same as he used to be. So if he says he's a Christian, I'm going to let it go at that. I don't want to judge him on that. The Democrats, some of them say they're Christian, and some of them say they're not. But if you want a better person to vote for, you have to deserve it. And as a country, on the whole, you know, all of us combined, not just the people in this church and not just the Christians, the true Christians, and everyone else that lives here, as a whole, from what I see, we really have the leaders of the country that we deserve as a nation. You know, Donald Trump wants Nancy Pelosi to be a better person. Nancy Pelosi wants Donald Trump to be a better person. And they both think they deserve a better leader of their separate parts of the government. When really, they've gotten exactly what they deserve. And as a nation, we have what we deserve. And it won't get any better until we change and become a better people as a whole. And in order for that to happen, those of us who know right from wrong and who know what it says and know and understand the consequences of doing wrong are going to have to set a better example for them and bring them up out of the mud, out of the filth. Until that happens, we're not going to get better leaders. Because as a nation, we don't deserve it. Turn to the first book of Corinthians, chapter 6. Here's some more don'ts for you. Just in case anyone out there on the internet is watching or listening and you don't know that it says this, we're going to go over some more don'ts. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If you don't do what he said, if you don't walk uprightly or perfect in front of God in righteousness, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. It's what it says. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, people who practice sexual immorality, idolaters, people who worship idols, adulterers, people who cheat on their spouses, nor effeminate, people who act like women, men who act like women and women who act like men, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, the homosexual community, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. It's not going to happen. And such were some of you, us. We were sinners, just like them. Some of us did these things. Some of us lived these kind of lives. Some of us lived different kinds of sinful lives. But we were all sinners at one point or another. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God, just like Enos and Titus and all the others. But we had to be brought to a knowledge of the truth. I'm not telling you all of these things because I want all those people to die and go to hell. I don't. I'm telling you and them all of these things because I do truly care about you. I don't want to see you unhappy for eternity. I want to see you enjoy eternity. I want to see you happy for eternity. I don't want you to suffer in outer darkness, in shame and guilt, eating up your soul. So I tell you these things tonight. 1 John, the 4th chapter, starting at the 7th verse. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And I do know God. And I've felt his love, the love that he has for me and the love that he has for all mankind. He spoke to me at length about this when I was 18. Yeah, he talked to me when I was a young man. I had a long conversation with him that night, and he answered a lot of my questions, and he told me a lot of the things that just blew my mind. But the thing that I remember the most, the thing that hit me the most, was the love that he declared for me and for all of you. He told me, he said, I love each and every one of you the same. That is why I did this for you. That is why I took upon myself flesh and walked the face of the earth in the body of Jesus Christ and suffered through all of these trials because I love you. I love each and every one of you the same. And I want you to love me and keep my commandments. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. And it's true. No man has seen God in all his glory and lived. There were those that saw him in the body of Jesus Christ. We have a record of that in these books. Some of us, he's come to us and talked to us. Some of us, he hasn't yet. Some of us don't need that much. Some of us do. Beloved, if God so loved us, oh, I'm sorry, I've read that. Hereby know we that he dwell in us, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. And I do love you, and I do love all the people outside the doors of this building with all my heart. And I pray for them as well as you. And it's the reason that I'm willing to stand up here tonight and tell you and them or anyone else who is listening, you cannot live in sin and die in your sins and expect to remain with God for eternity. It will not happen. He said so. And there is nothing that we can do, no matter how smart we think we are, or how much we investigate, or how many experiments we do with our scientists, that is going to change it. You cannot change God. You cannot make him change his laws, and you cannot make him do things the way you want him to do things. No matter what you say, it's not going to happen. And if you don't do what he has commanded all of us to do, and you die in that state, it will not be well with you. And you will be very unhappy for the rest of your life. And I don't want that for you. So please, keep his commandments. Walk upright before him. Do your best to be perfect day by day in him and through him. And continue to pray for me, and I will pray for you. Thank you so much. I love you all.
Thank you, Sean.